Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. Some of you will probably say, "Preacher, I've heard this message before." And you probably have. Some of you have not. Some of you that have just been coming lately. But I need this message tonight. And I trust that it'll be a help to you. I can't do anything on my own, but I can do all things through Christ. Amen. Isaiah chapter 35. If you can stand with me, and if it's not too hard for you, stand with me, please. Let's read. Beginning in verse number 1 down through verse number 10. Chapter 35 of Isaiah. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God. With recompense he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up upon them. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And I like verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. And watch the last part. And sorrow and sighing shall what?
Flee away.
Thank you. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open tonight. Isaiah is like a mini Bible. Isaiah has 66 chapters. In the Bible, you find there are 66 books in the Bible. Here in chapter 35, the prophet is prophesying a better day for the nation of Israel. Presently in chapter 35, things were not looking so good. Things were not going so well in Isaiah's day. But Isaiah said, there is coming a day that all is going to be made different. There's coming a day that all is going to be changed. And the prophet looked down through the corridors of time 700 years before Jesus was born. And here in this passage you find, as the prophet looked down through the corridors of prophecy, the Bible said here that he could see in verse number 6. He said, I see a lame man being able to walk again. I see a man that is deaf and dumb being able to speak. And I see there that the wilderness right now it's like a desert, but it's going to be turned into a rose garden. I see that now that there's a desert, but one day the streams are going to break out, and there's going to be water to fill that thirsty land. And he said here in these passages, it's like a rose garden. At this point, it looked dead and dry and dusty. It looked like all life had ebbed out from that garden, but he said, just hold on, because there's a better day coming, and the roses are going to bloom again in your life. And beloved, may I say to you tonight, that the roses can fade in your life. Your life can become dry. It can become dusty. It can become mundane. It can become rigorous. And the trials of this life can weigh heavily upon you. But my friend, can I tell you something? Hold on, a better day is coming. I want to say to you tonight that when the sweet dew of heaven begins to fall, those roses that looked like they were lifeless, those roses that looked like they were dead, when the roses begin to bloom again, thank God you'll find joy and contentment. You'll find that the sorrows will be vanished away. You'll find that the redeemed of the Lord can break out in song and singing and say, praise be to God for what He's done in my life. That's what we need, my friend. That's what this preacher needs. Why do you have Jubilee? It's a time of refreshing. It's a time that we can put our feet under the table. I'll be honest with you. I need a time that I need to be preached to. I need a time that the Holy Ghost of God can get a hold of my heart. I need a time of refreshing. But friend, I want to tell you tonight, as old Isaiah said, just hold on, because there's coming a day that the roses are going to bloom again. It might look dry. It might look dusty. It might look dead. But thank God the roses are going to bloom when the dew of heaven begins to fall and the sweet presence of God comes, and you can look back and say, thank you, Jesus. I didn't give up. I stayed the fight. I lasted the course, and I finished on a good note. And friend, may I say that all of us have some times that our roses will fade in our life. There are five people in the Bible. I give them to you tonight real quickly that had their roses to fade. Number one tonight, I find a man by the name of Abraham had his roses to fade. Go with me, please. The Bible tells me that Abraham was called the man of faith. The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 9 and verse 10 that the Bible said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, for he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. You say, did he ever find it? He never found it down here. But he looked for the city of God. He had faith to believe that what God said, God was going to be able to do. As they sang that song about heaven, as they sang that song about Canaan, friend, I want to let you know something, that my home is there. It's not in Reedsville. It's not down on this earth. But my home is found on the Rock of Ages. It's in heaven tonight. And thank God when it comes my time to go, I'll just exchange destinations. I'll leave this world and breathe my first breath of celestial life. And I'll be more alive then than I ever have on this side. Abraham was a man of faith. Every night I believe this. I believe this, that my friend, every night when he got Sarah and they left Ur of the Chaldees, great metropolis city, everything at their fingertips, I mean every restaurant, everything they could imagine, they left all to go out to look for a city. Day after day, they journeyed and looked for a city. I just kind of believe this, Brother Brawley. I believe this, that old Abraham look at Sarah. He say, honey, you better get a good night's sleep tonight, because just over that next ridge is the city of God. Just a little bit further. Just down the road a little bit more. And Brother Steve, you and I have been at this for many a year. And my friend, just over the next ridge, just a little bit further, just a little while longer, we'll fight our last fight. We'll win our course. We'll finish our race. And we'll win that prize. Over the next hill is the city of God. If you're not looking for it tonight, you ought to be looking for it. Amen.
Amen.
I was over here yesterday, tidying up a little bit. And I'm getting honest right now here with you. And so, this ain't part of the message. This is, I'm running rabbit trails.
was over here, Eric, and I was vacuuming these pews. I ain't getting looking for doing this. I'm vacuuming these pews. And I look out yonder, Brother Steve. There's a fella out there that I didn't recognize. And he had a hoodie on. And he had some kind of remote control. It was a Batmobile, by the way. Malky's done left, but it was a Batmobile. I didn't know it at the time. And y'all that know me know that I usually keep Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson close by. Amen?
Amen.
But they wasn't with me. They was out in the truck. And my daughter's on the phone. And this fellow's out there, got the hood pulled up over his head. And I told my daughter, she said, "Well, Daddy, you got your gun, don't you?" I said, "Well, it's out in the truck." And so as I was talking to her, I made my way out there to the truck. And so I got my little gun, put it in my pocket. Well, about that time, three little kids, they started riding through the parking lot. Well, you know what the first impulse was? Old devil said, "Go out there and run them kids off. They're going to tear something up. They're going to run into something." And the more I studied on that, I thought, And all of a sudden, they did start riding down the sidewalk. And so I walked out there, and I said, "Kids, if y'all wouldn't mind, y'all ride out yonder on the driveway part, but let's not get up here on the sidewalk." And the fellow turned and he said, "Kids, I told y'all not to get up yonder next to the building. Sir, I'm sorry." And so that struck up a conversation. And I went over and talked to him a little bit. And come to find out, he's one of our neighbors. He lives just right up the street here. And as I talked to him, I asked him this question. Oh, here's what brought it about. He said, "You know that somebody up the street here died. They got the funeral home signs out." I said, "No, I didn't." I said, "But you know what the Bible said, that there is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And I called him by his name. And I said, if that was you, if those signs was out there in front of your yard, where would you spend eternity? Do you know that you go into heaven when you die?" He said, "Well, I'd like to think I would. I'd already picked up a track, and the young'uns out there, they were getting ready for supper." And I said, "Here, I want to give this to you. God turned something that could have been a bad thing into a good thing. And I invited him to church. And I'm going to go," I said, and he told me this. He works at Burger King up here, had been there for 7 years. And so I said, "Well, Brother Harry, I just went up there at Burger King, got me and Brother Harry a little something." And I said, "Well, I'll look you up next time I'm there." But friends, this is what I told him. Every one of us is going to face death. Everybody in this room is going to face death. I mean, listen, friend, either I'm looking for the Lord to come at any moment, but if He don't come in the rapture for me, I'm going to face death. I'm going to breathe my last breath. I'm going to preach my last message. I'm going to pray my last prayer. I'll preach my last sermon one of these days. But I want to tell you one thing. Glory to God, the very moment that I breathe my last breath here, I'll breathe my first breath over yonder, absent from the body, present with the Lord, no in between, no soul sleep. No purgatory. I'm going to the celestial city of God. Jesus said this in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Not your job. Not your bank account. Not the government. Say amen right there.
Amen.
But Jesus said, have faith in God. He's the only one that you can depend on. He's the only one that will never let you down. He's the only one you can anchor your trust in. And honey, I got news for you. When it comes down to death's door, you better know and know and know and know that you're going to heaven when you die. We need some more people today that will believe God in spite of what the devil. Listen, hear me out. I'm preaching myself right now. And I tried to be an encouragement. It's hard sometimes. It's hard because on one side you got
got God speaking to you, and he's saying, trust me, all things are going to be okay, everything's going to work out, you know it's all. And then on the other side, the devil's like, yeah, that's okay for everybody else, but what about your children? What about your family? What about your situation? What about your finances? What about this? What about your health? And he speaks them words of lies in your ear. Honey, let's determine today to have faith in God. Abraham is called the friend of God. I ain't got time to preach all this, but one day, Abraham's roses began to fade. I don't know, I'm just kind of supposing. But I believe maybe one day that Abraham, maybe he'd come home and there sat Sarah. Sarah had to knit needles out, and she was knitting a... He said, oh, honey, what are you knitting there? Abraham, I'm knitting a baby's booty. Is that right? We know somebody's going to have a baby? We sure do, honey. Yeah, well, who's the lucky fella? Who's the lucky couple that's going to have this baby that's coming into this world? She said, well, I thought I'd let you know it's going to be us. He's 99, she's 90. Impossible. Impossible. But may I remind you, all things are possible with God. Well past childbearing years, well past even grandparent years, but God moved on the scene. But God breathed life into that dead womb. But God had a plan down through the ages that the baby boy by the name of Isaac would be birthed into that family, and Isaac would be that son, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day, his roses began to fade. Abraham was spoken to by God, and God said, Abraham, I want you to get your son Isaac, and I want you to saddle up those camels and those donkeys, and I want you to get those servants. I want you to go to Mount Moriah, which is the northern end of Mount Calvary, and there I want you to offer your son a sacrifice unto me. Now, he wasn't like you and I try to rationalize, try to justify, try to excuse ourselves. He just obeyed God. Can I have an amen? And he told Sarah, he said, honey, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. Now, listen. And he said, I and the lad are going to come back home. How in the world? Listen to me now. The Bible said in the New Testament that Abraham had enough faith to believe that if he sacrificed his son, that God was able to raise him from the dead. Now here's the clincher. There had not been a resurrection, had not been a resurrection, and would not be a resurrection until the book of 1 Kings. Friend, Abraham just believed God. They got to that mountain. He took his son, told the servants, stay here. I and the lad are going to go worship, and I and the lad, we're going to come back. The servants stayed at the bottom of the hill, and they began to take that journey up the hillside. And Isaac began to talk to his daddy, and he looked around, and he said, Daddy, we've got the wood. By the way, y'all read your Bible. Who was carrying the wood? Isaac on his back, a type of a cross. He's carrying the wood. Isaac said, Daddy, we've got the wood. We've got the fire. We've got the knife. But Daddy, where is the sacrifice?
And Abraham spoke one of the most prophetic statements in all the Word of God. And he said this, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Thank God He did, amen. That He sent Jesus to die for our sin. He sent Jesus to take our sin, to bear our sins. And thank God He bore all of our sins. Got up yonder to the top of the mountain. And I don't believe, listen, if that'd been most of these young folks today, they just said, wait a minute, old man, you out of your brain, you out of your mind. I ain't laying down, no sir, you ain't going to put no knife in my chest. Hey, you done got Alzheimer's or Halfheimer's or something. Something's wrong with you. Call the paddy wagon. Lock this old man up. Take him away. He's crazy. Not that boy. You know why? He was the obedient son. And he laid down. And I believe this. I believe that as Abraham had to bind his hands, I believe he began to shed every tear. I believe Abraham began to cry. And I believe he reached over and said, son, he kissed him on his forehead and said, boy, I'll see you in the resurrection. Lifted the knife, getting ready to plunge it in his heart. And by that way, the angel spoke to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, I see your faith. Look over in the thicket. And over in the thicket was a ram caught by its horns, a type of the Lord Jesus. He said, offer it up in the stead of your son. And all of a sudden, the roses began to bloom again in Abraham's life. Life came back into his life. Why? Because he got a glimpse of Calvary.
It'll make your roses bloom again. When you get dry and dusty and you feel like you can't put another foot in front of another, you take a trip up that rocky hillside and you look up into the face of Him that died for you. And you think about all the sin that was laid on Jesus that day. And you think about what He went through, the beating and the scourging. And I don't care what you are going through. I don't care what kind of pain you're suffering. I don't care what kind of despondency you're in. I don't care what kind of depression you're in. But when you get a glimpse of Calvary, it'll put life back into you.
Second of all, tonight, not only did Abraham have his roses to fade, but Jacob had his roses to fade. The name Jacob means a heel snatcher, a deceiver. Three things about Jacob I find. First of all, he was a stranger. He ran from God. Oh, what a difference it makes. Instead of running from God, you run to God. Amen?
Amen.
Jacob, one night, he saw a ladder. And he dreamed, and he made his vows to God. But I see that not only was a stranger, but he was saved. You said, preacher, how do you know he's saved? He laid his head on a stone, and he called that place Bethel, the house of God. Can I tell you something, folk, tonight? I just believe this. I believe, listen, something popped up on my phone. I thought it was some weather message or something. Bless God, it was something about, I don't know what ball team just won the championship. I want to tell y'all something. I ain't really concerned about a ball team tonight. Amen?
Amen?
I think this, the best place that a child of God can be is in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
The best place you could be on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning is in the house of God. And old Jacob said, this is Bethel, the house of God. Friend, I want to tell you something. Nobody had to get me out of bed this morning. Nobody had to pry me. Nobody had to call me. Nobody had to say, hey, you better be at church today. Friend, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. I like church. You say, preacher, I just don't like church. You heard about that one fellow, didn't you? His wife come in that morning, and she said, honey, it's time to get up. You're going to be late for church. He said, I'm not going today. She said, what do you mean you're not going? He said, I'm not going. He said, the people aren't friendly. And he said, I'm not going. She said, honey, you've got to go to church. He said, I'm not going today. The people aren't friendly. They talk about me. And he said, I've just stopped going. She said, honey, you've got to go. He said, give me one good reason I've got to go. She said, you're the pastor. You've got to go. Friend, nobody had to make me come to church today. And I believe this. I believe when you get a dose of the real thing, when you really get saved, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I just put this down on record. I'm going to stand on it tonight. I believe this, that a child of God has a desire to be in the house of God, around God's people, to hear God's word preached. Amen? I believe you don't have to pull and push and pray for a real Christian to be in the house of God. It'll be somewhere they want to be. But then I find that Jacob was sifted three ways. He was sifted by his wife. He married the wrong woman. One of the greatest blessings in this world is marrying the right person. Amen?
Amen.
He was sifted by his wife. He was sifted by his wages. He worked 7 years for nothing. My friend, you better be working for Jesus. Amen? It sure does pay a whole lot better than anything else you know of. And then he was sifted by his walk. I'm hastening on. How you say, how was he sifted by his walk? He went over the river Pinal, river of death. When he went over that river, the Bible tells me that he had wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. And the angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And the angel said, Jacob, let me go. And he touched him on his thigh. And old Jacob had a limp afterwards. Everywhere that he walked, he had a limp. And everywhere that he walked down, you say, what was that limp? It was a reminder of a blessing of God. Don't ever view something bad or negative as something bad. God can take a mess and make a masterpiece out of it.
Amen.
And old Jacob, he was sifted. But here, let me hurry on. One day his roses began to fade. You know Jacob's story. The day come that his sons brought him an evil report and said, Daddy, Joseph is dead. Look at here. We found his clothes, his coat of many colors. It's got blood all over it. Daddy, Joseph, he's dead. And old Jacob, his heart was broken. His sadness, his boy, Joseph, he believed he was dead. Years went by. A famine came in the land, and the sons went down to Egypt to buy some corn. When they got down there to Egypt, Joseph was put in authority. Joseph saw his brothers. Joseph, my friend, wept as he saw his brothers. And he come to them and he said, tell me, what about the rest of your family? They said, we got a daddy. He's old, but he's still alive. Joseph, they didn't know who he was. He said, what about the rest of you? They said, well, we've got one who was, but he's no longer with us. They're talking about Joseph. They figured he's dead. And then Joseph revealed himself. He revealed himself to his brothers, and his brothers went back home to Jacob, and they said, Daddy, I got good news. I got good news. Joseph, he's alive, and Joseph is doing well, and Joseph is a governor down in Egypt, and Joseph wants us to come and live with him down in Egypt. Friend, I want to tell you something. When you get dry and you get dusty, you think about the resurrection of Jesus. He came out of the grave. He's coming back again. We're going home to live with Him forever. That'll make your roses bloom. And then quickly tonight, my time's gone. Job had his roses to fade. But the last one I want to give you tonight, Brother Eric, you get ready in just a second. Luke chapter number 15, if you care to turn there. And I'm going to have to hurry and finish tonight. The prodigal son had his roses to fade.
The Bible says that the day came, two boys, the younger one, said to his father, "Father, would you give me the portion of the goods that befalleth to me?" Now listen, look this way just for a second, listen. What that boy was saying, this literally is what he was saying. "Daddy, I wish you were dead." Because the only way that he could get his inheritance is if his daddy was dead. Now the father didn't have to do it, but he divided the inheritance and gave it to the younger boy, gave it to the elder boy. The younger one took his journey. You say, "Where did he go?" The Bible said a far country. Where is that? Anywhere away from God. Do you realize that you can backslide sitting on a church pew? Do you realize, hear me out now, church, when you start leaving off little things, your Bible reading, start leaving off your prayer life, little things, it's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. You start leaving them little things off, you say, "And I know how it is. Listen, I'm busy. Lord, I'll take care of that later. Lord, when I get home tonight, instead of watching 10 o'clock news, I'll go ahead and read your word." And then 10 o'clock comes, and next thing you know, you done dozed off in the easy chair, and you wake up, and it's about midnight. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
And you stagger on into bed, and you fall, and you say, "Man, I'm so tired. It's been a hard day. It's been rough at work." And guess what? It's them little things. I have never met a person that woke up one day and said, "You know, I'm going to go out and ruin my life. I'm going to go out and cheat on my wife. I'm going to go out and ruin my reputation. I'm going to go out and steal, use pot or whatever else, or drink a Miller Lite." I never met anybody that said, "I'm going to go out and wreck and ruin my life." It happens one step at a time. Are y'all with me tonight? All of a sudden, amen, stop. Come on. If y'all can shout about the others, you can shout right now.
Amen.
And the prodigal son went off in a far country. Three things happened to him down there in that far country. First of all, he became penniless. Here he had his inheritance. Have you ever noticed this? People that have money, they usually are the most, tightwad, skin flint, nickel pinching. People that's got money, they'll drive around a I got halfway embarrassed. I was sitting in Food Lion parking lot last July and waiting on my wife to go get the groceries while I was sitting in the air-conditioned truck. And in pulls this dilapidated Ford. Now listen, no reason for Ford. Don't knock them Fords. But y'all know, I've said this before, you know why you'll never see a Ford hearse, right? Y'all know that, right? Ford people, y'all know why you'll never see a Ford hearse? Because a Ford will take you and bring you back home. Amen. We'll get to them Chevrolet people in a little while. All right. But I was sitting there in the parking lot, and here pulled in a 70-some model, dilapidated, rusted out Ford truck. And lo and behold, he had a trophy cup mounted on the hood. I took a picture of it. I put it on Facebook. It wasn't but a little while later that I got a message on Facebook, "That's my husband's truck." I said, "No, Jane, this is not. The guy that got out of there, he's got this long, scraggly beard and hair just there. That's not Joey." "Yes, it is. That's his truck." I'm so, "I'm sorry." Of course, the family had a good laugh about it. But now Joey's got money. But he drives a 70-some model rusted-out Ford truck with a trophy cup mounted on the hood of it. If it's you or I, we'd have gone out and got us a brand new spanking 250 diesel. Amen. I got a friend like that too, Brother Eric.
and his truck payment in 2015 he bought brand new is $1,000 a month. I want to ask which one's the smarter of the two, amen? But here's what happened to that prodigal son. He spent everything he had. He could have kept from spending everything. He didn't have to spend his last dime. He didn't have to spend his last dollar. But he became penniless. He spent it all. And then here's the second thing. When he spent it all, he became friendless. Y'all ever notice this? Any of y'all grew up in my generation? As long as you could put gas in the car, you had friends. But as long as you put gas in the car and take them down to Biff Burger and buy them a 49-cent hamburger, you were the talk of the town. But friend, when the money runs out, the friends run out. He become penniless. He become friendless. A third of all happened to him. He become shameless. Now, sometimes you don't quite understand until you study this out, and I'm going to give this to you. But the Bible said he was feeding upon the husk of the swine. It was the husk of a carob tree. And what they would do, I would imagine the same principle today that they feed corn to pigs to fatten them up. Isn't that right? And that's what they were doing. It wasn't that he was eating the slop. He was feeding on the same thing the hogs were eating to fatten them up. The husk of a carob tree. But now they tell me it tasted terrible. But here he was, a Jewish boy, feeding the swine. And then all of a sudden, one day, the thought came to him. The servants in my father's house have it better than I've got it. They've got a place to lay their head. They've got food in their stomach. I don't have any food. They've got clothes on their back. They don't smell like a hog. They don't smell like a pig. I believe I'll arise and I'll go back to my father and I will say, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And the boy got up and he started his journey. And I believe that every step of the way, Lord, I'm coming home. I believe every step of the way, he got to thinking about this, Miss Laura. I wonder what my daddy will think. I wonder what my daddy's going to say. I've disgraced his name. I'm no more worthy to be a son. And then that boy, as he began to look down that long dirt road, saw an old man. Could it be? No. Not Daddy. And then as he got a little bit closer, he could recognize his form. It is Daddy. That's my father. Spurgeon said this is the only time in the Word of God that God is seen as being in a hurry. When that father ran and fell on that boy's neck and kissed him, he said, Daddy, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against him. Daddy, I've disgraced your name. Daddy, would you just make me one of your hired slaves over yonder? Amen. The daddy said, I'll not hear of it. I'll not hear of it. He said, you're my son. You were born into my family. You will always be my son. Regardless of what you ever do, nothing can ever change my love for you. And he said, servants, bring forth the best robe. You say, what was the best robe? It was the Father's robe. And you know what? Come here, Brother Danny. When he got near that boy, he said, I'm going to put my robe on you. And you know what? All that old hog slime. All that old mud. All that old filth of the world is covered by the Father's robe. And that's what the Lord wants to do to us. Thank you, my friend. He wants to take His robe of righteousness and say, I want to drape it around you. I want to put shoes on your feet. I want to put a ring on your hand. Son, just come on home. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll be honest with you, I got a little upset when Brother D.R. said, Preacher, I can't make it Sunday night. I said, but brother, we had agreed on that. And Preacher, I need to go back to South Carolina. I did get a little upset. But I do believe in the providence of God. I believe this. God had me here tonight preach our own jubilee for a reason. Maybe you're here tonight and you just, your roses have faded. I mean, on the outside, everything looks good. But deep down in your heart, there's some dryness. You've let some little things come into your life. You didn't really mean to. I try to call people all the time, but I look around and I miss them and I call them up. And here's what I hear them say. Somebody recently said this to me. I said, brother, we've missed you at church. Preacher, there's just some things I need to work out. I said, I'm here. If I can help you, just don't stay away too long. See, our problem is this. Pride sometimes gets in the way. And that was the fall of the devil. God wants to say, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I wonder how many of you tonight say, by the good grace of God, I want my life to bloom. I want my roses to bloom. I want them to flourish. I want them to look like they've been dosed in Miracle Grow. I want them to thrive. I want my life to count for Jesus. I don't want it to be dry, dead, dusty, broken, barren.